It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Well, the last night of the convention largely succeeded in overcoming so many of those impediments which plagued this convention from the start, from the incredible heat and humidity, the occasional downpours here, that DNC email scandal, and the incredible anger of many Bernie Sanders supporters who are still not on board the Clinton train. There were sporadic shouting matches even last night, the ripping up of some competing signs, and when Clinton finally emerged on stage, a small chorus of boos erupted before that was overcome with an ovation. For her. She made this peace offering, by the way, to Sanders supporters.
Bernie Sanders and I will work together to make college tuition free for the middle class and debt free for all. We will not build a wall. We'll build a path to citizenship for millions of immigrants. We will work tirelessly with responsible gun owners to pass common sense reforms. We will defend all our rights, civil rights, human rights, and voting rights, women's rights, and workers' rights, LGBT rights.
Clinton was introduced by her daughter, Chelsea, a woman who grew up in the spotlight of the White House as a small child and who has now grown to be a mother herself. She called her mother a fighter who never gives up. And that's a sentiment that was echoed by President Obama after the speech concluded last night. He tweeted out this: "Great speech. She's tested. She's ready. She never quits. That's why Hillary should be our next at POTUS. She'll get the Twitter handle, too." You know, one of the great advantages that the Democratic Party holds over the Republican Party is the support of the vast majority of the Hollywood elite, and so it was at this convention. Katy Perry took the stage last night to introduce a video which featured Morgan Freeman.
On November 8th, you'll be just as powerful as any NRA lobbyist. You'll have as much say as any billionaire.
Well, all right, so that was Doug McElwey, at least part of his report from this morning on Fox and Friends First. And this is Sandy Rios in the morning. Did you watch the speech last night? Mrs. Clinton probably gave one of the best speeches she's ever given. If only it were true. If only it were true what she said. You just heard Doug McElwey talk about the number of celebrities on the stage, the number of celebrities that come out. It's just amazing what Meryl Streep this week and all the stars. Like Carole King sang yesterday, and certainly it's star-studded. I think, you know, the Democratic Party embraces all of the immorality and lasciviousness that Hollywood loves. You know, so it's really a no-brainer that they would be there. They love, you know, what do you say? People love to be told that their the choices, the indulgences, the proclivities that they don't want to control are great and are mainstream. And that's why they liked Bill Clinton. And I've always maintained that the reason Bill Clinton was elected even the second time was because the American people had, their moral values had fallen to such a level that they were actually, it was refreshing to have an immoral president. They kind of liked it because it made, you know, we were told that what you do privately has nothing to do with who you are publicly. So somehow that may have stuck. And so one of the big disappointments in regard to that last night was Bradley Cooper, the star of the American Sniper film. We all know about that film, and I think we, you know, loved it. It was very patriotic, and some even fancied that maybe Bradley Cooper actually believed what he was doing and what he said and how he acted, because he hung out with the wife and got acquainted with the life of the sniper. But there he was at the convention last night, so it was very disappointing. People are tweeting about it, but you know, these are confusing times. I was reading, you know, your comments this morning in preparation for the show, because this is Friday, and we're going to open the phone lines and talk about what you've been talking about. And it's just all over the map. There's not agreement on so many things. And so we really do cry out for God's wisdom. This really is a choice for Solomon this year about many things, not just the presidency, but what's right and what's wrong. What did Ted Cruz not endorsing, you know, Donald Trump? Was that right or was that wrong? Many people feel it was terrible. It was self-serving. And others feel, no, it was the right thing to do. You know, it's a division. It's hard. I don't think it's impossible to reach. I don't think it's impossible to know the mind of, to at least seek what's true on these things with God's help. I don't. And so we're going to plunge into some of that controversial stuff. But first, I have to keep talking about what happened last night. Hillary Clinton had lots of things to say. Let's listen to a little bit of it. This would be cut 7.
In my first 100 days, we will work with both parties to pass the biggest investment in new good-paying jobs since World War II. My strategy for defeating ISIS, we will strike their sanctuaries from the air and support local forces taking them out on the ground. Donald Trump says, and this is a quote, "I know more about ISIS than the generals do." No, Donald, you don't. A man you can bait with a tweet is not a man we can trust with nuclear weapons.
Okay, we can. Sorry. But of course, we can trust her because we see how quickly she came to the defense of our soldiers in Benghazi, how fastidious she is with truth, and how much honor she has for America's troops as they fight. She, who with her husband loathe, L-O-A-T-H-E, their choice of words, not mine, the military. But she'll be a champion, no doubt about it. And let's listen. She says in cut 8, she talks about how her nomination. Let's just listen to it.
When there are no ceilings, the sky's the limit. We've reached a milestone in our nation's march toward a more perfect union. The first time that a major party has nominated a woman for president. I will carry all of your voices and stories with me to the White House. Now, remember what the president said last night. Don't boo, vote. You really think Donald Trump has the temperament to be commander-in-chief? He spoke for 70-odd minutes, and I do mean odd. Don't believe anyone who says, "I alone can fix it." Donald Trump says he wants to make America great again. Well, he could start by actually making things in America again. We begin a new chapter tonight. The choice is clear, my friends. Seal me in.
You know, I should have put the pause, push the pause button after every phrase and interjected just what I know. Like Hillary Clinton's making things in America? Really? She's created like lots of things, right? Like, not really. I remember well that she and Bill Clinton didn't own anything, not even a house, before they got to the White House. And I remember that when the U-Haul left the White House, they stole furniture, paintings, all kinds of stuff from the White House because they had nothing. But suddenly, overnight, like, gee whiz, now they're billionaires. And it's just really strange how that happened, how she, as Secretary of State, was able to command $500,000 just for one speech. And gosh, it just kept accumulating. And now, you know, just as luck would have it, they're billionaires. But she's going to create, you know, jobs and work and in America. She's got it all figured out, this economy. And then also she talked about, oh, what did she say? Donald Trump. She talked about the temperament. My tickle bone has been touched this morning. I don't know why, so forgive me for laughing. But I just remember all the times I know, because I was alive then and covering the news, when Hillary Clinton went into a rage with the most foul language you can imagine, throwing things at her husband, cursing at Secret Service agents. These things are recorded. She has a violent temper, but suddenly she has the temperament to become president because she knows how to read the teleprompter. Pause. Remember that teleprompter speech she made a couple of months ago where she was reading and the script said pause and she read pause? Yeah, but she's very sincere when she delivers these speeches. It's silly. This whole thing is just absolutely crazy. But rather than make a generalization, let me point to an article. In fact, Adam, let me have you find this because this is from Rick Manning from Citizens for Limited Government. Now, this is an article that's being published this morning, and I honestly don't even know the outlet. But I want to read a little bit of it to you because he sent it this morning. I thought it was excellent, and I want to put it on our Facebook page. This is what his comments about last night. He said they ordered flags, they ordered USA signs, and they trained attendees to chant USA while Bernie's folks sought to disrupt. They even made the backdrop behind Hillary Clinton look like a flag rather than the drab steel gray resembling some futuristic Orwellian political stage that beset most of the Democratic convention speakers. And yes, she even mentioned God, but I don't remember Jesus making it past the speechwriters. She talked about the founding fathers without the sneer that has become the norm from the left, and she recast them as supporters of collective liberty rather than protectors of individual rights. All in all, it was a well-written speech that created a Swiss cheese of history of Clinton's life as well as the state of the nation over the past 8 years, a speech and a candidate depending on the ignorance of voters who only tune into politics once every 4 years. If an alien landed on this planet with no knowledge of Hillary Clinton's history, that moon Martian might think that Hillary sure has some big ideas. Unfortunately for Democrats, Hillary Clinton has a historically corrupt politician who put U.S. national security at risk with a private email server, who has been dogged by ethics problems since her days as the wife of Arkansas Attorney General and then governor when she hit the jackpot in a rigged cattle futures scheme. Hillary Clinton can talk about free college education for the middle class, but this is the same woman who raked in $2 billion to deliver speeches on college campuses over the past few years, speeches that tuition and student activity fees underwrote. I could go on and on. He talks about judgment and character, and he links that to Benghazi, and I don't need to repeat what she did and did not do in regard to Benghazi. While President Obama famously discounted any concerns about Russia in a 2012 debate with the GOP nominee Mitt Romney, Hillary's Russian reset failed miserably, but she and her husband, President Bill Clinton, did benefit as he netted a $500,000 payment for a one-hour speech in Russia. And shortly thereafter, Hillary, as Secretary of State, signed off on a Russian takeover of one-fifth of all uranium production in the United States. And then it goes on about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but let me move down. She promised that she would tackle gun control, but never mentioned the words Islamic or jihad as being at the heart of most Americans' angst about the uptick in violent crime. It is almost daily reports of beheadings, rapes, and attacks by illegal aliens and Islamic jihadists, which has America questioning whose side Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are on, yet those concerns were virtually dismissed as bigotry. And I have to read this last one. I'm sorry. This is Rick Manning's article. We'll put this on our Facebook page because it really is powerful. And he speaks rather than me. I'm doing a broad characterizations, and Rick talks about specifics, which is important. She spoke about unity. While the administration she hopes to extend for another 4 years has been the most divisive in half a century, and race riots in cities like Ferguson and Baltimore, Hillary wants to continue an administration that is engaged in a wholesale assault on virtually every aspect of a society, from suing to force local school districts to allow biological males to shower in the girls' high school locker room, to rezoning neighborhoods based upon Washington, D.C. census maps. She wants to continue to force Christian bakers to participate in gay weddings while moving to shut down free speech and rewrite the First Amendment of the Constitution. And on it goes. That's Rick Manning's article on Hillary's speech last night. There's so much to say, and I'm going to try to say it. So stay tuned. We're going to open the phone lines too, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, Sandy Rios, in the morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your healthcare with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Millions of people are asking the question, what has happened to America? Is there hope? What will our children and grandchildren face in years to come? There is no doubt that religious liberties for all men are under attack by those who want to completely eradicate God from our history and our future. On July 30th, we celebrate the 60th anniversary of our national motto, In God We Trust. This motto has been inscribed on monuments and on our coins. It's been boldly proclaimed in speeches from Presidents Lincoln, Kennedy, and Reagan. Our national motto is a reminder to Americans everywhere that there is hope for our future. Go to ingodwetrust.com to join the movement to restore hope across our nation. Get informed, get excited, and get your In God We Trust decal today. Say it, display it, and claim it. Again, that's ingodwetrust.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and Commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. Back in 2007, then-Senator Barack Obama complained about folks who cling to their guns and their religion, called us bitter. As regular listeners to this commentary know, I'm proud to call myself a gun-toting, Bible-clinging patriot, and I'm not bitter, I'm blessed. After 8 years, it turns out the Democrats still hold all of us Bible clingers in contempt. Nancy Pelosi said as much during an interview with PBS. That's the broadcasting network partially supported by your tax dollars. Ms. Pelosi said Hillary Clinton's having a hard time attracting white male voters because of the three G's, guns, gays, and God. Now, I suspect most of you would be repulsed by such comments, but I'm going to give Ms. Pelosi the benefit of the doubt and assume she's just woeful. Ignorant. The fact is, most of us gun-toting Bible clingers oppose Hillary Clinton because she puts herself first and not America. I'm Todd Stearns.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
This November, I'm voting for a woman who is my role model as a mother and as an advocate. A woman who has spent her entire life fighting for families and children. I'm voting for the progressive who will protect our planet from climate change and our communities from gun violence. Who will reform our criminal justice system, and who knows that women's rights are human rights, and who knows that LGBT rights are human rights here at home and around the world. I'm voting for a fighter who never, ever gives up, and who believes that we can always do better when we come together and we work together. I hope that my children will someday be as proud of me as I am of my mom. I am so grateful to be her daughter. I'm so grateful that she is Charlotte and Aiden's grandmother. She makes me proud every single day. And Mom, Grandma would be so, so proud of you tonight.
All right, so that was at least most of Chelsea's, at least almost 2 minutes of her speech. Chelsea Clinton, of course, loving her mother. She is very close to Donald Trump's daughter. That's an interesting little sidebar on this election, isn't it? Sandy Rios back with you. Let's see. The question is, where do we start? We are going to talk. I'm going to open the phone lines. I have a lot of other things to tell you first. But our phone number is 888-589-8840. We can talk about whatever's on your mind. There is a lot to talk about. If you've been watching the Democratic National Convention and also the RNC, which I was not able to open the phone lines because of the circumstances last week. So there are a lot of things that I'm sure you want to say. You've been saying them in email and Facebook, and I really appreciate hearing your comments. I want to read this from Lucas first. He said, please double your efforts from now to November to help people be aware that they are also electing senators and representatives in this election. Get them to make up their minds about the presidency now so that they can move on and focus on congressional races that will determine this nation. And thank you, Lucas. Of course, if you listen, you know that I've said that many, many times, and I appreciate you reminding me to say it again. There are so many important races, and it has been really a gut punch, honestly, to watch race after race after race, conservatives defeated. While people are expressing their outrage over the presidential election, where conservatives supposedly have been whipped up to come out and vote for conservative primary candidates, and then we have watched one by one the establishment, the very worst candidates from my perspective, win every single congressional and senatorial primary without hardly any exceptions. Maybe one. In Ohio, John Boehner's seat was taken over by somebody really good. But, you know, what's with that? You know, could I remind you, we have a voter guide, AFAAction.net, AFAAction.net, if you want to know where people stand. There are some primaries left. And, in fact, I want to tell you about a couple of them. John McCain is running in Arizona. Their primary is in August. And it looks like he's in trouble. Dr. Kelly Ward is his opponent, one of his opponents. There's three opponents, but Dr. Ward is, the others just have single digits, and she's neck and neck with John McCain right now. So, you know, John McCain, for all of his, let me just say Louis Gohmert has endorsed Kelly Ward, and he made the statement, Congressman Gohmert, that it is true that John McCain was, paid a terrible price as a Vietnam POW, but that doesn't give him the right, says Congressman Gohmert, to ruin the country with his policies. And I'm with him on that. So anyway, so that's coming up. And just it'll be interesting because every time John McCain runs for re-election, he moves to the left, moves to the right, and he starts, you know, swearing he's going to build a wall on the border when Arizona is one of the states that suffered the most from these open borders, them in Texas. I don't know if he's doing that now, but he certainly did in the last election cycle. And he convinced them and they reelected him. But that's one race. In Kansas, Tim Hulskamp, one of the champions in Congress, really could easily be compared to Congressman Louis Gohmert in terms of his effectiveness. He's the founder of the Tea Party Caucus. He is a conservative's conservative. He's very principled. He's much more soft-spoken. He is maybe going to lose his primary in Kansas, because the establishment hates him. He was an opponent of John Boehner. He's been an opponent of Paul Ryan, at least someone standing against them with principle. And so Tim Hulskamp is now under attack. I wonder what's going to happen. That primary is coming up. And I'm begging all of you listening to me to please pay attention to the down ballot races in your state and make sure you're casting your vote for somebody who is principled and shares your values. It's just unbelievable. It really is mind-boggling. And I have to say, I could talk the whole show and then I wouldn't talk to you, would I? I'll just say this quickly. What I know now about what happened at the Republican convention last week was that the establishment forces really took over. Instead of Donald Trump's people working with conservatives on the floor, they ended up partnering with the establishment. And it was kind of a slam dunk in terms of the Rules Committee. A lot of wonderful things were proposed, and they were all defeated, all of them. And that's because the Trump faction partnered with the establishment faction. That it's just disheartening. It is so disheartening, I can't even tell you. So, all right, this is from Corey. Corey says, I've been listening to your show just a few months, and I really enjoy it. But being the skeptic that I am, I never take anything at face value. And that's okay with me, Corey. I'm with you. And I was wondering where I could find some information I heard you mention on the show. For example, a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about an event attended by both Hillary Clinton and Obama where they were seemingly supporting someone from the Black Panthers, but never knew what event that was. A couple of months ago, you mentioned Hillary Clinton wanting to lower the age of sexual consent to 13, but I've been unable to find sources for that. Enjoy your show and hoping you can help. Well, yes, I can. Corey, that event is chronicled in J. Christian Adams' book. It's just me reading this morning, and I didn't have time to look it up, but J. Christian Adams' book on he is the whistleblower that left the Justice Department, and he wrote a book all about it. And he exposed the new Black Panther Party and how the DOJ was partnering with them. And he has pictures in his book of this and tells about the whole event. So that would be the source. In terms of Hillary Clinton wanting to lower the age of sexual consent, it's actually 12, not 13. And you won't necessarily find her saying that, but this is what it is. She is a strong supporter and advocate of the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. And part of that whole movement on the rights of the child is to lower sexual consent to 12. So that's why, you know, you're not hearing her. Well, she may have said something about it for all I know. But I'm just telling you, that's what that is all about. And that's the source of it. And I hope that helps. And I'm so glad you're listening. And by the way, we have a lot of new stations. And I'm guessing then a lot of new listeners. And I want to point out some of them because we have actually gone on the air. We've expanded the signal here in Virginia to the D.C. area. We actually cover a good portion of Northern Virginia now, and that means Northern Virginia now is just south of the Potomac, and that's people who work in D.C. primarily live in Northern Virginia or they live in Maryland. And so we are now covering a good portion of Northern Virginia. We were already in Southern Virginia, so it's 91.3 for those of you that have family or friends in this area and you want them to listen to the show. It's 91.3. And we want to welcome all of you. And by the way, before I go through this list, if any of you are listening, new listeners listening to these new signals, it would be great to hear from you. Our phone number, again, is 888-589-8840. So that's 91.3 if you're in the D.C. area. In New Orleans, we are on now in 91.9 KMRL, 91.9. Corpus Christi, it's KKWV 88.1. Alice, Texas, it's 88.3 KAWV. And now we have an outlet in Fayetteville, Arkansas, which is KBNV, and that's 90.1. And also Laurel, Mississippi, which is 90.9. So welcome to all of you new listeners. And by the way, we'll put that on our Facebook page so that you can see where the news stations are and you can recommend them to your friends who live in those areas. And of course, you can always listen at the AFR Talk app. AFR Talk, you can download that app on your smartphone or whatever you're using. Or you can go through TuneIn Radio also. If you go through TuneIn Radio and you just put in AFR Talk or Sandy Rios in the morning, you can get it at the appropriate time. So it's easy, and you can do that. And now, this is from Margaret. Let me read to you what she says. I am so appalled when I see the political campaign ads purportedly stating Clinton's love for children, and even more so when Michelle Obama referred to it in her speech last night. We stand on the brink of 70 million American children having been murdered in the womb. This woman, who claims to love children, is the world's biggest promoter of abortion worldwide. While in the State Department, she went so far as to threaten countries. Sorry, just a second, having a technical problem here. Threaten countries such as Belize that if they didn't support and open abortion clinics in their nations, as well as teach the five types of genders, that if they were ever under attack by a foreign nation, the UN would not come to their aid. This is absolutely true, by the way, and that's why I'm taking the time to read what she's saying. Many listeners are too young to recall or even know about the play Bernadine Dorn, who was the founder of the Weather Underground, and Hillary produced years ago celebrating the Manson murders. They even reenacted the plunging of a pitchfork into the pregnant womb of Sharon Tate and screamed, "Death to the pigs." She hasn't moved too far, meaning Mrs. Clinton, from that stance, as she now supports the plunging of a scalpel into the neck of a fully viable baby in order to perform partial birth abortions, as well as supporting full-term abortion. America's Holocaust is the continued slaughter of the innocent unborn, and this butcher queen is the biggest supporter of it all. Her hands are full of blood as she stands there boldly proclaiming her love for children. And it's absolutely true, Margaret. And that's why I wanted to read everything that you just said. All right, let's go to the phone lines, and let's go to Shirley in Tennessee. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good, good. What's on your mind?
Awesome. Really quickly, it's interesting that Hillary's daughter made that speech about babies' rights, because she didn't mention that babies' rights are human rights, too, unless they don't see babies as human. It's interesting. But I wanted to say this. Hillary was Secretary of State. If she wanted to handle ISIS, she probably could have. She's not going to handle ISIS. We know this. And I've noticed that, for me, it seems that there's a government takeover of these elitists. You know, and I think she's helping with that. They talk about student loans all free. I think she got that from Sanders. And because she's pulling pieces of different people who were successful in the primaries and putting it all in her speech.
Hey, Shirley, just a second. Who do you think's going to pay for those? Who's going to pay for all those college free tuitions, you think? Maybe the Clinton Foundation, because surely those things don't come free. That's the part that's the point we have to make. That's not free. Are you kidding me? Who's going to pay for that? It's going to be higher taxes. It's going to be you and me. It certainly isn't going to be the Clinton Foundation, and they're not going to feel the burn. It's going to come out of the National Treasury. And adding to our $22 trillion debt, there are things that we cannot do, even if we'd like to. Shirley, you get the last word. One more thing.
Okay, real quickly. Whenever Hollywood is involved in anything, we need to be very careful, because they are advocates of the Antichrist, and I just see this as the end times. I'm not sure we really have any good choices, but I'm praying about it. We will not be voting for Hillary.
All right, Shirley, thank you. Nice to hear from you. Let's go to Todd in Louisiana. Hello, Todd. Good morning.
Morning, Sandy. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I'm a political junkie, but last night I just had to turn it off. I thought I was voting for prom queen and not the chief executive officer of the United States.
But she's a woman. Todd, she's a woman. Wasn't that exciting to you to see a woman? You know what? Isn't it? It's like the first black. Who cares? If they're a lousy candidate, who cares? What, you know, if they're a man, a woman, right, or black or white, who cares? If they're lousy, they shouldn't be president.
Correct. And I agree with that. Another thing, too, as a taxpayer, you know, we want, you know, where is our money being spent? You know, I live in Louisiana. My roads are just being destroyed. That tax dollar's got to go to that. I think our investments are not being spent right, and we need to start looking into that and make them people be accountable. And I'm going to hang up and listen to you. Thank you.
All right, Todd. That's interesting, because people hardly ever talk about that, but it's true. Our infrastructure, well, Donald Trump talks about it, and President Obama did too, when he had this massive package in which he ended up giving it to career government employees and giving it to his friends rather than really fixing the infrastructure. But, you know, he was going to fix it. He had good intentions. All right. Going to take a break. 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning, coming back right after this.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
When we're told to do something, we like to ask why. We don't follow traditions merely for the sake of tradition. We seek a biblical worldview and search for reasons behind answers. For the Christian who wants to dig deeper, there's EngageMagazine.net, packed with relevant articles from movie reviews and life tips to culture and the believer's spiritual life. Share truth. Apply scripture. EngageMagazine.net.
Are you a new listener? Have you just found us and want to find out more about us? AFR.net is the place to go. Information about what's on the air right now or what programs and features are coming up can be found in our on-air schedules. There's easy access to the online store and archives of our programming, so you can discover more encouragement and information than you ever thought possible. Of course, you don't want to forget about our free smartphone app. All of that is just the tip of the iceberg. I told you, the place to go is AFR.net.
It was a time when men rebuilt the ruins and held spears, shields, and bows. With one hand, they laid bricks. With the other, they held a weapon. Jerusalem had been destroyed by enemies that moved in after Judah was taken into captivity. Nehemiah said, "You see the distress we're in? Let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach." The people said, "Let us rise up and build," and set their hands to the good work. Our nation, after many years of decline, is in a state of moral destruction. The cry is going out, "Do you see the distress we're in? Rise up and build." To restore the moral foundations of America, an army of citizens must set their hands to a good work and be ready to fight.
The American Family Association, informing, equipping, and activating individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture. AFA.net.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The prognosis for Europe just got a lot worse. A year ago, German Chancellor Angela Merkel opened her country's doors and effectively those of the European Union to limitless immigration. A human tsunami from the Middle East, North Africa, and other Muslim nations ensued. The results have been disastrous for Merkel's nation and for Western civilization. Well over a million mostly Muslim migrants have wound up in Germany alone. Few seem disposed to assimilate, and a growing number appear to be Islamic supremacists bent on jihadist conquest or are in the process of adopting their ideology, Sharia, and that stated goal. Unbelievably, in the wake of four murderous Islamist attacks in Germany, Chancellor Merkel has just doubled down. She reaffirmed her open border policy, inviting a further Islamist invasion and possibly setting the stage for Europe's next conflagration. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
First, our thoughts and prayers are with our veterans and those who serve today. Tonight, we are honored to stand here as parents of Captain Humayun Khan, and as patriotic American Muslims.
You know what, I'm going to interrupt. Actually, I found his statement very compelling. It was like 7 minutes. It is Kazir Khan. He and his wife standing there, and they were talking about the loss of their son who died serving in the U.S. military. And then, of course, he goes into, he says, Donald Trump consistently smears the character of Muslims. He disrespects other minorities, women, judges, even his own party leadership. He vows to build walls and ban us from this country. And then he waves the Constitution, and it was very compelling. It was very good. And it's confusing. But this is the clarity that I want to bring to this. From my perspective, it is the responsibility of Mr. Khan to distinguish himself from Islamists, from the Muslim Brotherhood, whose treatise is to destroy us from within. If he is a patriotic, loyal American Muslim, then we want to hear that. That's great. And we grieve with them over the death of their son. But do not disparage Americans or Donald Trump for having concerns about Muslims in our midst. And if you are so concerned, Mr. Khan, if you're an American first, then distinguish yourself and condemn Islamists, condemn the Muslim Brotherhood. Then we will listen to you. And stop waving the Constitution. As far as I can tell, Islam, truly supporters of Islam and the Quran, cannot embrace the Constitution. Now, if you have a different view, then explain that to us, and then maybe we could be persuaded. But don't shame America for having genuine and rightful concerns about Muslims in our midst when we have no idea who they are or what they really believe. And we're not even sure about you, sir, because we know about taqiyya, which is the practice of lying to the infidel in order to advance the Muslim cause. So I'm sorry, will not be shamed. I'm sorry for the loss of their son, and I hope he is a loyal American. But I would think a loyal American Muslim would be more like Zudi Jaffer, who is very clear about where he stands, who was very patriotic and loyal and totally distances himself from Islamism. So if that's the case for this gentleman, then he should have said that on the platform rather than shaming us for having concerns about Muslim immigration. So that's my thought about that. All right, let me go to the phones. It's Steve from Arkansas. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Sandy. How are you?
Good. Very good.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, sir. Yeah, we can hear you.
I heard you when you were singing with Johnny, and you're very talented, and that was a good blessing. And also this bike wreck. I've been in a couple of bike wrecks and racked some things up, but the Lord healed me, so I'm glad you survived.
Okay, Steve, thank you. Very sweet, but I'll make your point.
Quickly. C.S. Lewis, he said, that he wrote one time, he said, is there life on other planets? Well, if there's life on other planets, what if we could get there, could we offer them but rape, genocide, war, and disease? And so what I'm saying is if Hillary Clinton is of the quality of the truthful worldview that C.S. Lewis is, what could she offer but lesbian lovemaking seminars and propaganda? What does she have in terms of substantial truth?
Well, of course, I think that her entire record is based on untruth. And so the result of that is corruption and lies and immorality. And she's right at the center of most of it, Steve. So I think that's the answer to that. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Joan in Texas. Good morning, Joan.
Hi, good morning, Sandy. Thank you so much for your program. You're a breath of fresh air.
Thank you, Joan.
Sandy, I love the way you talk about Ted Cruz. I think we, the people, have gotten the whole thing mixed up. We don't need another politician. We need a savior. And it's not Donald Trump, and it's certainly not Hillary. I plan on voting for Donald, but it'll be a lot easier if all of his good Christian evangelical supporters will stop putting down a young man that has spent his life loving America. He went to Texas and did what we Texans hired him to do. He confronted the Washington cartel. He stood there on a stage with Middle Eastern Christians and supported Israel, and they booed him. He said, if you will not stand with Israel, I cannot stand with you. Now, everybody's wondering why the inside Washington people hate this young man. Well, they hate him like roaches hate the light. I'm sorry, I get very passionate. I do not believe Ted Cruz was supposed to be president at this time. I think it's going to take an ugly person to beat Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, very well said, Joan. And, you know, I actually haven't been on the air live since all that happened with Senator Cruz on Thursday night. Not on this show. I was on with Brian on Friday. And so I was never able to really comment on this show about that. Let me read something. Joan, I'm going to let you go, but thank you so much for your soft heart on this. This is from Aaron. He said, after listening to you on Focal Point today, I sat down and listened to the entire Cruz speech, and that was from last Thursday. I thought it was quite impressive. Some people and the pastor at our church seemed to be disappointed. I was pretty much totally in agreement, he says, with you. I thought Susan Wright at Red State nailed it. Cruz's words were powerful and gracious, giving an air of sophisticated patriotism to what was otherwise a thin veneer of gaudy revelry. He spoke words that true patriots needed to hear and embrace. This is, in a nutshell, because you are my audience and my audience family, and I don't think I've said this to you directly, I do want to comment on this. Some things that happened, you know, Senator Cruz talked to Donald Trump directly. Trump knew 3 days before that he was not going to endorse him on the platform. The text of his speech was sent, I think, to Reince Priebus, so the establishment knew that. And I have to say that it was my observation that on Thursday, I was watching Fox. I know other networks did this too. There was a constant drumbeat of, is Ted Cruz going to endorse? Is he going to? If he doesn't, that's terrible. If he doesn't, it's just about his own ambition. He just wants to be, he's setting it up for 2020. Is he going to endorse? Is he going? They did that all day long. And I know many of our people watch Fox. And they were really, people I think were whipped into a frenzy. I think so were delegates. Not thinking clearly, because remember that Marco Rubio was also speaking by video at the convention. And I have to tell you, I don't remember one single anchor or commentator saying, is Rubio going to endorse? On his video, will he endorse? He better. If he doesn't, he's setting himself up for 2020. It's all about his own ego. They never said that about Marco Rubio. And by the way, I read Marco Rubio's speech verbatim, and he did not endorse Donald Trump either. So when Senator Cruz made his speech and Donald Trump timed his entry just at that while the boos were taking place, and the boos started out of the New York delegation led by Peter King, who hates Cruz, you know, and because I know now that the Trump people convention colluded them with the establishment rather than with conservatives, which was deeply disappointing on the rules. I just think the whole thing is pretty rotten. And I think some of our people were caught up in it because Donald Trump's speech on Thursday night was powerful. And I think people so want things to turn around this country. We want it so badly that we are willing to do things maybe we shouldn't be willing to do. There was nothing wrong with Ted Cruz's speech, and there was nothing wrong with him he did infer and imply, even by his presence, that he would support a Trump candidacy. He congratulated him for winning. I've heard, all these criticisms about him breaking his pledge, and I just would say, just challenge all of you to remember that there are times when we do break pledges, and I will mention, you know, like a marriage to an unfaithful person. I would mention a business contract with someone who then begins to cheat or steal from the business. These are the kinds of things when we give a pledge in good faith and then someone breaks faith with us, that's a very different issue. And that's why I've defended Senator Cruz. I think the pressure, honestly, the drumbeat should have been, is Donald Trump going to apologize to Senator Cruz? This is not like the slams that he did with Marco, like little Marco and the other things he said about, this is a very deep personal insult about Cruz's wife, about his father, and about Cruz's own character, which is a very important thing to him. Not so important to other candidates, but very important. It struck at the heart of who Ted Cruz is, his honesty. And so I think he was owed an apology, and a public one. That should have been the drumbeat, but it wasn't. It was that Cruz should forget it all, not be petty, and he should endorse and forget. Let bygones be bygones. Keep his word. and dishonor his wife and his father and his own honesty. I guess I wouldn't have done that either. So that's the divide. Many people feel differently about it, but I wanted you to hear from my own lips. That is how I felt about it. All right. I want to hear more from you. Let's go to Terry in Texas. Good morning, Terry.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Terry Shelby, and I want to let you know that I was raised to be a Democrat. I remember my grandfather influenced me a lot because he was a World War II veteran. Huntley, we watched the Huntley-Brinkley News, so that ought to date me pretty good. It was a absolute insult for those communist flags to be at the Democratic Party. Now, I vote Republican. I vote conservative. I'll put it that way. But I am supporting Trump for the reason that he said he supported Israel. And I don't see anything in his past dealings that says they don't. I know when Obama flew over there right at his first term, he went right past Benjamin Netanyahu and then never stopped at Israel.
Yeah,
they
well,
are the chosen people.
Yes. Well, Terry, I think there are a lot of good things that Trump says he stands for. And I think many of us are just praying that he will do what he says he's going to do. His Thursday night speech was powerful. I think the people were just so grateful to hear what he had to say, and then felt like a gut punch on Friday morning when he went right back at Ted Cruz on his wife and his father and all of it. It was just so unseemly. And Donald Trump is an uneven candidate. He is not a person. He's going to disappoint us. He's going to do some things that are going to make us shake our heads and just shudder sometimes. But I really do think that there is a choice that has to be made here. As difficult as it is, it has to be made. But that doesn't mean we have to destroy Senator Cruz in the process. That's the part that I can't do. I can't support the bandwagon disparagement of him. And I would have to say that if Senator Cruz wanted to be the candidate in 2020, it wasn't for ambition, because that was like the ambition means that you reach out to the party regulars, that you reach out and you do endorse in spite of your personal convictions. That's what a person that wants to be president does. And so I didn't view that as an act of personal ambition, but one of really kind of sacrifice. I don't think he knew what was going to happen to him, but I think that many people are going to support Donald Trump, Terry, because of not only Israel, but because of his strong stand on illegal immigration, because of his strong support of America's military. There are a number of reasons why they're going to make that choice over a very dangerous and dark Hillary Clinton on just about every single issue. So thanks, Terry. I appreciate your comments, and I'm so grateful that you're listening, and that applies to all of you. And I'm sorry we just never have enough time to talk. Maybe next week, you know, I'll just set aside 3 days and we'll just open the phone lines. That would be kind of refreshing, wouldn't it? I might do that. All right. Well, listen, thank you for listening. And don't forget to go to church on Sunday and get your hearts right, because all of this stuff is hard to handle if we don't have a centering or a reminder of the presence of God and his involvement in the affairs of men, as Benjamin Franklin said. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.